Do you reckon that somebody who cried from the heart, hear my humble cry, let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling here in deep contrition, help me, trusting only in thy merit, I'm a wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom have it passed me now? You reckon he'd pass by somebody that prayed that from the heart? Nobody. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. I don't know what made me read this, but I did, and it made me want to preach from it. Matthew 11, read verses 28 through 30 with me. Matthew 11, 28. Just a minute. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, the Lord said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I have preached from this over 15 times, and have never labored more studying this, trying to prepare this, than recently. I struggled more. I thought I knew, and I could have gone back and grabbed an old message. I just don't do that. I need fresh manna myself, and you did too. But the more I looked at this, the more I thought, I don't know that much about rest. I really don't. I preach in part. I know in part. Rest means complete repose. Calm, quiet, peace, freedom from any worry. Do you have that? I'm afraid I don't have it like I want to. Do you? So I thought, well, you need that. I need that. The Lord is talking to his disciples. In Luke chapter 10, makes it very plainly that he's turned to them and said to them. And look at verse, this all goes together. He said in verse 25, look at this. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. This is right after the 70 disciples came back and were so excited about it. So glad what the Lord had done through them. He says in Luke, he rejoiced in spirit. And he said, I thank thee, Father. Thank you. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. What things? The things of God, the things of his kingdom, the things of Christ, which the Holy Spirit takes and shows unto all his people. Well, we know, John said, the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Natural man receiveth not the things of God. The foolishness to him, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And so we should rejoice, shouldn't we? If we know these things. We know very little, but we know. We do believe. No. And little faith saves us. There was a time we didn't have anything. And now we have not much, we got little. I do believe, like we sang, help my unbelief. So the Lord said, I thank you, Father, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes, his little children. And he knows our praying. And that's how he treats us. And that's who he's speaking to, little children. And one time he said, except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you're not in the kingdom of God. Oh, how blessed are, he said to these disciples, your ears, they hear. And that was in the same context, Luke 10. It's Blessed are your ears, blessed are your eyes, you're so blessed. The Lord has revealed these things unto you. He's hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Do you think you're wise? I don't either. Well, this is who he's speaking to. May, little children. And he said, he blessed the Father and he rejoiced, and so should we. So should we. And this should relieve our fear. And look at verse 26. This is the Father's good pleasure. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth. Whatever he pleased. And it pleased the Father. The reason you're a believer, a disciple, and everyone in this room, what a privilege for me. What a pleasure to preach to a church full of everybody in here. I have confidence you know the Lord. Man, I can say all these things with utmost confidence it pleased God to make you his people. It just pleased him. Now look at verse 27. He said, now this is to his disciples, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. All things are given to me. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Remember he said in John 17, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Who is he given to Christ? How do you know him? They come to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You're here tonight because he called you by his gospel. Because the Father chose you and loved you and gave you to Christ and called you by his grace, and you've come to Christ, and we're going to look at what that meant. For rest, for peace, for help in time of trouble. And he says, first of all things are delivered unto me. All things. Like Joseph. Remember, Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. He's got everything. Everything you need. The time of famine, fear, drought in Egypt. Joseph was Lord over Egypt. And his people, Joseph's brethren, lived in the land of Goshen. The best place. That's where we went. The best land. Where's that? Zion. Jerusalem. And we have total freedom, access, come boldly to our Joseph, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has everything we need. And all things are in his hands, all people, all places, all things, all events, every principality, power, everything, germs, all things. When he said all things are delivered into his hands, what does that mean? What's all mean? All. All power given unto man. Boy, that ought to make us... And we belong to him. And it says in verse 27, all this goes together. He said, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Nobody even knew there was a Son until he came. And but he revealed himself, the Son, down through time, didn't he? I believe that was Christ in the garden talking to Adam and Eve, don't you? I'm just certain that the voice of God came walking in the cool of God. Who's the voice of God and walking? This is the Word they fled. A pre-incarnation visit of our Lord, and he visited many of his people to reveal himself to God's Spirit. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son he had declared. And nobody knew the Son but to whom the Father revealed him. And remember when Christ came at his baptism and he told John, when you see the Holy Spirit landed on him, that's him. That's my Son. That's the Christ. And John said, I saw him. And I have too. The Holy Spirit has taken the things of Christ and shown me that's him. That's him. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. No man comes to God but by Christ. How many millions of people think they know God and don't? Trying to get to God and can't. And they go do this and they do that. And there's, we know no one. There's one person, one mediator, one way, one truth, one life, one umpire, one daysman, one prophet, priest, king, one. Who's that? Jesus Christ. All right, so everybody that knows that He is the Son of God, that He is the God incarnate, that He is the way, the truth, the life, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all these things, everybody knows that, the Father, you're one of His children. He's revealed the Son to you. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. And we do Him. Okay. Now, verse 28. This is all good. Come unto me. He's got it all. Remember old Joseph? That's one of your favorite stories in the Bible, Joseph and his brethren. Like you want. Maybe I'll preach on that Sunday. Remember, they were guilty of their brothers hating their brother and despising him and rejecting him. Isaiah 53 said, have gone astray. He was despised. We did esteem him stricken and smitten. We despised him and rejected him. There was a time I didn't give him a thought. Could care less if he lived or died. But God. And now, Christ, and I've told you many times the word that He sent to my heart. Father, forgive them. They know not what they did. Like Joseph on the throne, his brethren came, and when they found out it was him, they feared him. They were afraid. Why? We crucified him. Joseph, come near. Remember that? Joseph, come near. Oh, he's going to kill him. No. Oh, no. God meant that. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Come near. Come unto me. He said to Peter, he said to Simon Peter, he said to James and John and Matthew, the publican, all of them, come unto me. Come unto me. And he said, you can come boldly, you can come freely. Come unto me. If you couldn't come, I wouldn't have come for you. I would have come here. This is a faithful saint. It's worthy of all expectation because all are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Even the chief. You say, I'm the worst. Well, that entitles you to come. Brother Scott used to say, the only thing that entitles you to come is your sin. Not merit. Come for mercy. That's why I came. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Again, as he's talking to his disciple, people in the world they're not laboring. This is talking about laboring with the sin and unbelief and in this world full of lust and this man within that you're struggling with and all these troubles and trials. This world is not a troubling place to the world. The world doesn't labor and heavy laden with any kind of burden of sin or unrest. The only thing the world is afraid of right now is this pestilence. And as soon as it's over, they go right back to the world. It made us stop and think, hasn't it? What's really important? Who? So he's talking to his disciples here. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Now, I've always, and this is the first application. Because Hebrews 4, turn over there, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 is the chapter that talks about rest, isn't it? Hebrews 4. And there are some that labor to get to heaven. There's some that are laboring in religion. Some are laboring, spiritually laboring, trying anyway to to earn their way to heaven. Not many. Most people are hypocrites. Most people are playing games, making appearances. But some, there's some like the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to our Lord, a good master. He came to Christ. He knew that this is this wise man. He didn't know who he was yet, but he just knew that I had learned something from him. And he came from Nicodemus. He was sincere. Saul of Tarsus was very sincere. He said, I was zealous. Well, rich young ruler came to Christ and said, good master, what must I do to be saved? What good thing must be said? You know the law, keep the law. He said, all these things I've done from my youth up. Well, then why are you troubled, young ruler? Why have you come? And you know, the Lord, I know he belonged to the Lord. I know he did. Because it says the Lord loved him. And he went away sorrowful. Didn't it? That didn't mean he didn't come back. And Brother Nyberg and I think that was Saul of Tarsus. Well, anyway. He went away sorrowful. Brother Barnard used to say, to preachers, preach for a verdict. Preach in such a way, so clearly, so plainly that people get mad, sad, or glad. You want them to hear what you're saying? Mad. Mad's not always bad, is it, Robin? Robin said, I don't know. That's not there, what he said. That's not in the Bible. I'm going to go home and read and find it. He couldn't. She couldn't prove it wrong. And the Lord proved her to be what? Just a religious Methodist that didn't know the Lord. The Lord saved her. Her view accepted. Rich young ruler went away sad, sorrowful. Why? Well, the Lord said, sell everything you got, follow me. In other words, you can't get to God except by me. And he went away sorrowful. You mean all I've done all my life doesn't count for nothing? I told that to my neighbor. She got so mad at me. No, you can't believe I'm mad. She's still not over it. But it's not funny. I feel sorry for her. I pray for her all the time. I do. It's never too late. But he went away sad. Brokenhearted. Good. Or glad. Oh, I'm glad. Aren't you? Glad that it's not by works of righteousness we do. Aren't you glad? I never tried that. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. You did, didn't you? Ever since then. Climbing Mount Sinai is impossible. There's some that labor and in religion and works. And, you know, rest is not work. Is it? Well, what should I do? Believe. Oh, no, wait a minute. Believe. See, if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to glory in, Paul said. But no. He was a heathen. He was an idolater. The Lord came to him and said, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I've purposed. I've chosen you. This is what I'm going to do for you. I've chosen to save you. To redeem you. To reveal myself to you. To keep you all the days of your life. This is what I have done. What I'm going to do for you. Now, Abraham, what do you got to say? I believe. And God said, righteous. That's rest. That's rest. Saul of Tarsus, he was working so hard, be moral, reading, doing. The Lord came to him, struck him down. First thing he created was fear. Next thing he created guilt, didn't it? I thought I was blameless. I thought I was righteous by what I'd done. He said, I'm the worst sinner of all. What am I going to do? Christ said, you're not going to do anything. I've done it all for you. Believe me. Now you just go tell people what I've done for you. And they're going to hate you just like you hated me. But do it anyway. So, you know, our freedom, our fear of death is largely because of sin. Guilt. And if we can, and that's one Sunday's message. Let me go on here. Martin Luther, one more example. Martin Luther. He was sincere. He was zealous. Penance. Like the Muslims. The Muslims, ask me later and I'll tell you about it. All right. Muslims, you know, they literally beat themselves, trying to beat the sin out of them. Seriously. Trying to beat the sin out of them. I think that's what the publican was doing in the temple, smiting on his breath. Get the sin out of me. God, and all he could say was, God, be merciful to me. Smote on his breath. Be merciful to me, the sinner. You can't beat it out of him. You know what God did? He put it on his son and beat him for it. Well, that's one way to look at it. That's the way. By his stripes, we're healed. Now, rest. Sin hath no more dominion over you. The law hath no more to blame. And Luther, you know, he was just beating himself up, crawling up those steps. They told him if you kiss these, what are supposed to be blood spots of Christ. They took the stairs, supposedly, from Pilate's judgment hall, supposedly, and moved them all the way over to Rome. They're still there, supposedly. And Martin Luther was kneeled on his hands and knees, kissing those blood spots. Somebody told him, if you do that enough, your sins are gone. And he was doing that. And, you know, nobody had Bibles back then, but the monks. They had them chained up in the monastery. Didn't want people reading them. And Luther was reading it. And he was crawling up the steps, and this verse came to his mind. The just shall live by faith. Luther said, jumped up. Like somebody spoke it out loud. Ran out of that dark dungeon of captivity and religious captivity into the sunlight. A just shall live by faith. Live before God. Eternal life. How? Not by doing, but by faith in Christ. Come on. Anybody listening to this, trying to work your way to God, trying to atone for your sins? Christ said, come on, I'll give you rest. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, look at this. Oh, man. Run out of time already. He said, let us, verse 1, let us therefore fear lest the promise be left us of entering in his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, the children of Israel. The word preached, not prophet them, wasn't mixed with faith. They were going through all these ceremonies and rituals and all that, and they were Jews, you know, thought, we're good Jews, so we're going to heaven. You get the glory by Christ. No other way. And verse 3 says, but we which have believed do enter into rest. Down in verse 5, he said, if they enter into my rest. And down in verse 9 says, there remaineth the rest to the people of God. Verse 10, he that's entered into his rest, Christ, Noah, what does Noah mean? The name Noah means rest. That's what his name means, rest. All right, everybody who was in the ark was saved. How'd they get there? Noah brought them there. Put them in there. God put them in there. Noah brought all the animals, skunks included. What'd they all do in the ark? Rest. Ate. Served one another. That's it. How they gonna get to the promised land? The ark. Noah. Rest right there. So we're in Christ. Verse 10. He that has entered into his rest, he ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. which is Christ. All right. I wasn't going to labor that long in that, but all right, look at Ecclesiastes 1 with me. Ecclesiastes 1. Our Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." This is for those who are laboring in life and in all that this life brings us. The labor of life. Everything in this life is pretty much hard labor. Look at Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2. "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor which he taketh unto the sun?" And his whole book goes on to talk about laboring. For what? For what? Look at verse 13. "I gave my heart to seek, search out by wisdom concerning all things done under heaven. And this sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised, to afflict them." Travail means hard labor. You know Psalm 90, don't you? He said, if we live 70 years or 80 years, yet there's strong labor and sorrow. We're cut off and fly away. What was it all for? This is what I'm talking about. This is what Christ is saying. Come unto me. Chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. Look at this. Chapter 2, verse 11. You have it? Solomon, the wise man, said, "I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor I'd labored to do. Behold, it's just vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no profit." Look at verse 18. He said, "I hated all my labor." That is hated. That's not the attitude to take. You know, he went on to say, we should enjoy what the Lord gives us to enjoy, but we need to realize we brought nothing into this world. And that's what Job said. And it certainly didn't take nothing with it. "Naked I came, and naked I'll leave." Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "Everything is a season, is a time, every purpose, time to be born, time to die, time to plant, pluck up, kill, heal, break down, build up, time to weep, laugh, mourn, dance." Go on down, verse 9. "What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I've seen this travail which God hath given to the sons of man. Exercise it." Verse 12, "I know there's no good in these things, but a man to rejoice and do good in his life. But also every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It's the gift of God. But I know this, whatever God doeth." Now here's the conclusion we need to come to. All of this is nothing. It's vanity. We're going to lose it. We cannot satisfy self. Cannot satisfy the flesh. Cannot do it. There's only satisfaction in Christ. It's because Christ said, "Come unto me." Oh, you're laboring for this? He said, "Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why? Come unto me. Eat that which is good. Your soul delight itself in fatness. Come and hear your soul to live." Isn't that what Christ is saying? Why are you after? What are you after? You mean come after me? Food and raiment's all you need. These things give us unrest, don't they? "I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever." What's that? Salvation, eternal life. Nothing can be put to it or taken away. Have you ever looked at that verse like that? That's what that means. Verse 14, nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. What's that? You. And whatever God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Well, I was going to have you turn to Isaiah 55, but I just quoted it partially to you. Now let's go back to our text. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor, are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." What does it mean to come to Christ? What does it mean to come to Christ? Well, it means to believe it. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Didn't he say there in Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found? Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought. Return unto the Lord. And we're going to see coming to the Christ is to keep coming. He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's God, not a man. Aren't you glad? And his word won't return void. You're going to go out and the trees will be clapping hands when you hear Christ is coming to them. I'll give you rest, give you joy, give you peace, comfort, and all this labor, heavy laden. It's to believe him, it's to trust him. Laboring with fear, or laboring with worry, or laboring burden for because of this sin, a burden for our children, a burden for our grandchildren, a burden for others, striving to obtain, striving to do this, striving in our relationship, doing this and that and the other. What does it mean to come to Christ? First of all, it means to believe him, to trust him. Secondly, it means to call on him, to come to him in prayer. Look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. And the whole book of Hebrews is about the Christ who came and coming to Christ. You know that? That's right. The whole book of Hebrews is about the Christ who came and telling us to come to him. He's a great high priest. He's everything. He's the tabernacle. He's sacrificed. He's everything. That's the whole book of Hebrews is about the Christ who came and telling us to come to him. All right, look at Hebrews 4, verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. We have some brothers and sisters who were in Catholicism. And they would go, you know, to the confessional booth and confess their sins to a man. And then that pope that they believe in, he's the worst sinner, one of the worst sinners of all. And these priests and these popes and these cardinals, they hide away in these places, but Christ came, the great high priest, became one of us. Touched with the feeling of our burden. Lived in this sinful world. He knows our frame. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin. And he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. And when we come to him, he knows. He knows. Verse 15, he's tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Didn't he say, all things are delivered unto me in heaven and earth? He's on the throne, reigning and ruling. What do you need? Well, Lord, first thing, mercy. Second thing, grace. Third thing, wisdom. Third thing, what's all fear of faith. I need everything. Okay? How? To the throne of grace. And another place he says, come boldly. This place. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But to come to Christ is to call on him, to ask him, to seek him. And we can come boldly and ask him anything. To get rest. He said, come, and they find rest. Verse 29 in our text said, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Oh my, there's so many places I want us to turn. Jeremiah said this. Let me just read this to you from Jeremiah. He said, stand in the ways. Jeremiah 6:16. He said, stand ye in the ways and see. That is, take a look around. What do you see? A world in darkness and sin and anguish and vexation and trouble and no light and full of fear. You see that? Okay. Ask for the old paths. Wherein is a good way. That is, and walk therein. What's that? My faith. Not my sight. Come unto me, Christ. Look, take a look around. Has anybody got any rest? Anybody got any peace? Anybody? What's it all about? vanity. Come unto me, Christ said, and I'll give you rest. And you'll find rest, Jeremiah 6:16, for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke means ownership. If you've, I had some horses that had yoke on them, help Kelly. And a yoke is always two. A yoke. Don't put a yoke on, you can, it's usually two, is what it meant. And Christ said, take my yoke upon you. Oh, it's good that a young man bear this yoke in his youth. Before those evil days come nigh, we pray, we hope the Lord will reveal himself and take hold of our children, our grandchildren. And our Lord said, take this yoke and come to Christ. Come to Christ and say, Lord, put your yoke on me. Don't you? The world wants to be free. I don't. Do you? Byron used to say, the only free man is the Lord's servant. Or otherwise, we're running wild. I've said this before. I want to be on a short leash, don't you? Can't get shorter than yoke to him. Bound to him by love's strong cord. Lord, own me. Take hold of me. Take my yoke to be joined to Christ. He warns us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. See, yoked to Christ, and Kelly will tell you this, he has a lot of experience in it. If you got a real young horse, especially a plow horse, Mac probably knows it. How are you going to teach him to plow? How do you teach him to go in one direction? You yoke him to an old horse, don't you? Yoke him to an old, stable, gentle, submissive, meek, and lowly servant, the one behind the plow. He's going to stay in one direction. So you yoke that young, wild buck to that old horse, and he's trying. And that old horse is not going to let him go. That old horse, son, you know, if they could talk, this is what we say. If you just settle down, it'd be a whole lot easier for you. You just follow me. Just settle in right beside me, and we'll get there. And when it's over, what are we going to do? Rest. That's a good illustration. Take my yoke upon you. Learn me. I'm meek and lowly. And we're in this world. We can go after this, go after that. Why? Where are you going after? Hey, look at that. Don't let... They put blinders on those horses, too, don't they? Yeah, they do. Put blinders on them. Put that yoke on them. To do what? Go in one direction. Anyway, this is over. We got some labor, got some trials, got some trouble, got some plowing to do, got some service to do to the one that owns us, to the Master, the Lord that called us in His field. We're laboring in His field for Him. Okay? We're going in one direction. We're pulling one purpose. And the Lord said, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Because that's not where they're headed. That's not even on their mind. So here we are. Right? Be yoked to Christ, be yoked to His people. Be pulling in the same direction, same purpose, same cause, kingdom of Christ. Pilgrim, Christian, and his companion, they were both going one place with them. Fleeing the city of destruction, headed to the celestial city, both of them. And buddy, they were walking in one way. And everybody came along, brother, trying to pull him apart from him. Mr. Pliable, Mr. Talkative, Mr. This, Mr. That, were trying to get them away from that way. And nobody could dissuade them. Thank God. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, submissive. I came to do God's will, Christ said. That's what that meant. Meek and lowly. The opposite of that is proud. Haughty. High-minded. God's going to bring everybody down. But blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the new earth. And you'll find rest for your soul, he said. Yoke to him. His cause. His people. rest your soul. There's no rest for the wicked, no peace for the wicked. And he says in verse 30, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And it's not a burden at all, really. You remember those two milk cows pulling that cart? Remember that? They had one job, to haul that ark to the place that God was sending it for the people of God. That's our purpose in life. Like that donkey the Lord was riding in on. One purpose, to hold him up, set him forth. That's not, if you'd ask that donkey, he ain't heavy. Oh, he's not heavy. At all. He's a good master. He's a gentle master. If he whipped me, I need it. Why? Going astray. If you just let's keep my eyes straight on, right on here. All good. The yoke is easy. The way of the transgressor is hard. Woo! Is it ever hard? Climbing Mount Sinai is not only hard, it's impossible. Believe. Trust. Look. Follow. Come unto me, Christ. Rest. Okay, stand with me.